to page 8 and 9 of the Heidelberg. 8 and 9 in the back of those Blue Psalter hymnals. This is in a very similar vein with every Sunday, but also what we heard this morning. So I want to read question 2, 3, 4, and 5. We'll do this together. I'll ask the question, and we'll say the answer together corporately. So let's begin with question 2. What must you know to live and die in the joy of this comfort? 3 things. First, how great my sin and misery are. Second, how I am set free from all my sins and misery. And third, how I am to thank God for such deliverance. How do you come to know your misery? The law of God tells me. What does God's law require of us? Christ teaches us this in summary in Matthew 22. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these 2 commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Can you live up to all this perfectly? No. I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. Well, this is very familiar to us. This is, I'm going to show you tonight how this was a conviction by the reformers and by those who have come before us of how we read the Bible. But I want you to notice in question 2, why we study catechism, why it's so important to catechize. Why do we do that? Why should we imprint these things on the minds of our children in a day when this has been lost? Because there are certain things that need to be known about the Christian faith, aren't there? We're not a mindless people. We've talked about the fact that today everyone has we'll talk a little bit in the sermon tonight too, about they think that just a remote emotional relationship with Jesus is all that matters. And that's dangerous. It is according to knowledge. It's a knowledge that has to penetrate the heart, surely, but we have to first know for it to get to the heart. And the beauty of this tonight is that you'll notice that there are 3 things that must be known for somebody to be saved. And a child can understand this. A child can understand the gospel. And notice these 3 things, how simply set before for us they are. Boys and girls, think about it. You need to know that you are sinners. And you need to understand how great a problem that is. You think that's been lost today? Of course we need to know that. Second, we need to know how we're set free from all of those sins and misery that we were born into. And third, we need to know how to thank God. How do we do all of that? That's what the course of the catechism does for us. It shows us in that those basic points of knowledge, those basic 3 things that we have to know, guilt, grace, and gratitude. And the catechism unpacks that for us. Well, tonight we come to this the subject of how do we have an understanding of our misery? How do we know that? And there you read very clearly, the law of God tells you. So there's a basic reason then why we gather together as Christians and we read God's law, don't we? When we gather together, the law has a very important place in worship because what it's doing is opening and showing us the problem of our hearts and showing us sin. Well, we've heard that. We've received that. We know that. But do we ever think that all of Scripture is in these 2 parts? Law and gospel. Zacharias Ursinus, the author of the Heidelberg, I want you to listen to what he wrote in his commentary on this. It's really an interesting thing that we don't think enough about. The parts of the doctrine of the church are 2, the law and the gospel, both which the sum of all of Scripture contains. The law and the gospel are the chief general heads which comprehend all the doctrine of Scripture. The whole sum of Scripture is delivered in the law and the gospel. The law being our schoolmaster, constraining us to flee to Jesus and showing us his justice. The gospel showing us the person of Christ and his office and his benefits to us. Law tells us what? Do. Gospel tells us what's been done. It's very simple, isn't it? And notice that the reformers believed, our whole Protestant heritage believed that all of scriptures in these two parts, it comes to us as either law or gospel. These are the heads of scripture. And that's why we have taken the approach of not just reading the Ten Commandments, which is a summary of the law, but to see that all of scripture comes to us as law or gospel, describing to us what must be done, convicting us of our sin and our need for Jesus, and turning us to the message of the gospel, which declares what has been done. Now, how often do we see this play out in Scripture? You heard it this morning with the man who was pretty close to the kingdom. But how about hearing it now, since we've heard this over and over and over, by considering how Jesus applied this when he dealt with people? Nothing new to you. You've heard this a lot of times. But just think about how important these categorical distinctions were for salvation, for making known salvation, for witnessing and evangelism and understanding law and gospel. Listen to this. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now, this is not the same passage as the rich young ruler. "He said to him, 'What's written in the law? What is your reading of it?'" So in other words, what do you think the law is saying? "So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered rightly. Do that and you'll live.'" See what he just did? Over and over and over, he's doing this. "You do that. You love your neighbor and you love me perfectly. You will have eternal life." Did you see what he just did? He used the principle of Exodus with the giving of the law, didn't he? "The man who does these things shall live by him. If you want eternal life, keep the law." Right? "But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" And Jesus goes on to give what at that point? Jesus goes on to give the account of the Good Samaritan. Remember? He didn't see something. And so over and over, this is shown that when we have the law set before us, as we read here in summary, love the Lord perfectly, love your neighbor, these aren't suggestions, right? The problem over and over again is exactly what's brought out in question and answer 5. Can you do that? If you want life, keep it. Can you do it? And the answer is no. And so see how this frames everything that we do. This frames everything that in how we witness. The law is the first thing Jesus used to crush people. The law is the first thing Jesus used to show people their sin. And in the catechism, the law will be for the Christian who's redeemed, yes, showing sin, but also a way of gratitude. So we don't throw out the law that we're saved. We honor it in a way of gratitude. See, this is so basic. We've been trained in this now so much that it's probably so familiar to us. But you see how important it is for reading all of Scripture, seeing it in these categories of law and gospel? The problem with the human heart is what? He can't perceive things. It can't perceive things. This man thought he could do it. And what does the catechism rightly say? Can you do it? The answer is no. Because I have a natural tendency to hate God and my neighbor. That's a big issue. What is in everyone's heart is hatred for God and hatred for their neighbor. And that's the problem with mankind. That's what he's under. He's under that kind of tyranny, that kind of bondage, which he doesn't even see. And we're going to come to next time. Well, then, how do we get out of this? You got to be born again. You got to have life implanted in the heart. This is Nicodemus. This is all these accounts. You've got to be able to see. Tonight, you've got to have the word revealed to you so that you see things the way they are. Come to the Lord, not with a pompous and proud spirit, but with a broken and contrite heart, and he saves. He saves you. He delivers you. He justifies you. He forgives you. And he assures you of forgiveness. So here it is. this is what's always set before us, and how important is it to always remember that our own catechism right here shows us this, what is all throughout Scripture, the law and the gospel. Okay, let's sing together tonight. Number 389, Not What My Hands Have Done. We'll remain seated in the blue psalter, and we'll sing all three stanzas.